The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, well, good morning. It's Friday, September 19th, and you've tuned into Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on PCTV Select. Listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee as well. And welcome to all of our listeners and viewers this morning. I'm Sean Sayre. Glad to be here with you this morning. We have a great show coming up for you today. We have folks from the Berkshire United Way. We have Catherine Von Hafen and Chloe Reichick, and we're going to be talking about their a new effort, United in Conversation. We'll find out all about that. What is that? And also talk about their annual campaign that has just kicked off and is a major, major driver of doing a lot of good here in the community throughout the year. So we're going to talk all about that in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. And we'll be right on with the conversation. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Patchy fog this morning. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cooler with lows around 40. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, I didn't see any patchy fog out there this morning as I was driving in. I did see a beautiful sunrise. That's one thing about this time of the year as I'm driving into the studio. It's not dark yet, right? At whatever time I'm getting here, 6:45. But it's it's also not already the daytime. So it's just starting right around 7 in the morning. It's very, very nice out there. All right. Welcome to the show. And we have with us here in the studio, Catherine and Chloe. Good morning. And thanks very much for being here today.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Sean.
Absolutely.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, as you mentioned. And so it's good to come back around and find out what's going on with the Berkshire United Way. Obviously, a cornerstone of what it takes to keep our society in the Berkshires running. And obviously, some news since the last time that you were in the studio is that now you are the interim president and CEO. Catherine, Ooh. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so just as we're getting started talking about everything else going on, tell us how that adjustment has been and how you're fitting in with the new job responsibilities.
Yeah, well, I think anybody that knows me knows it's all about the work. I am super passionate about the work that we do at United Way, whether it's in this state or another state. I really believe in the work of United Way in that we're bringing community members together, providing donations, providing volunteer help, and really, really, really being a foundational support to our nonprofit sector, which, frankly, in the Berkshire County, we've got some of the best, highest quality nonprofits across the country that are here in Berkshire County.
Yeah, and a high number of nonprofits as well, right?
That is
as
correct.
Far as the state goes, it's one of the two counties that has the most number. I think, was it Barnstable County or somewhere out in the Cape that has even more or maybe very close to what Berkshire County has?
That is correct. Yeah. I think while we have a lot of nonprofits, we also have a lot of need in Berkshire County. Mm-hmm. And Frank, in the 4 years that I've been here in Berkshire County, we're watching the data. The data is telling us the needs are only increasing.
Yeah. What are the demographics like in Berkshire County as compared with some of the other counties in Massachusetts? Obviously, we seem to be sort of an Eastern-led and gravitated state. You know, everything sort of heads toward Boston, and sometimes the Boston folks forget that Berkshire County is still part of the state.
Oh, my gosh, Sean. Yes.
I know that's a perception, but there is some reality to that as well.
Absolutely. And that probably was one of my first learnings within that first year, is that regional inequity that exists out in Berkshire County is truly a thing. And in fact, that was one of our first, my first advocacy pieces of work was within the early childhood sector. We were seeing a lot of regional inequities in that the funding that was coming from Boston should have been supporting a lot of the professional development, the coaching for the early childhood folks, and it was just not coming out here. And so we quickly talked with our one of our fabulous elected officials, Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, and the EEC Commissioner Amy Kershaw, brought them out to actually Berkshire County, hosted the commissioner for a day, and really spoke very honestly about some the challenges, and that, frankly, when you look at the data, operating a childcare center, whether it's in the eastern side of the state or in Berkshire County, frankly, the costs are the same. But I think a lot of folks, a lot of elected officials in the state were just making assumptions that it would be cheaper to run a childcare center out this way, and that's frankly not the case.
So, yeah, an eye-opening trip, I'm sure, right, to come to Berkshire County and see for yourself the challenges that are presented here.
Definitely.
Yeah. And obviously, early childhood education, we're going to talk about that during this hour.
Yes.
And how important that is to everything, you know, when it comes to, again, childcare and early childhood education. Yeah, without that, quite a bit of the economy grinds to a halt.
Absolutely. You know, caregivers and parents can't work if their children aren't safely in a high quality learning environment.
Well, and Chloe Rychik, let's talk to you a moment. I think this is your first time on the show.
Yes, it is.
So tell us, you are the Data Analytics and Training Manager at Berkshire United Way. Tell us what that role entails.
So at a 30,000-foot view, that role is really managing our grant process and making sure that we're getting quality impact data from our funded partners. And that can be a very scary position to be in, because I don't want to put extra work on people I know that are nonprofits, and our staff working at the nonprofits are already maxed out, and I'm not trying to ask them for anything different than that. So that's kind of where the training part comes in, and I want to make sure that everyone, all of our funded partners, have the tools that they need, not only to give us the data that we want, but that they can provide the data to the greater community and just really hone in on that impact that they have and just how important it is that they exist in the community.
I can understand that extra amount of work that it takes, right, to put good data together, and it's probably seen in some places, and I could understand this for myself too. It's like, and now I've got to count this stuff too. I've got it. You know, I did all the stuff. We got everything done, and yet no. Now we've got to get some data. But how important is the data in terms of obviously funding, but then also just sort of to gauge the needs of what's out there?
Yeah, I mean, without the data, I don't think that we really could gauge the needs. You know, everyone has their opinions and their anecdotal information, but when we look at that data, we can really say, okay, no, this is across the board. This is what's happening. We can look at trends. You know, and that data is so important, not only for looking back and seeing where we've been, but to see where we need to go. Further than that, it's also a really great opportunity to show the community what we're doing and to hopefully garner some more support.
Yeah, no, it's so important, and I think even more so today in our tech world, where everything relies on numbers in some way or another. Obviously, telling the stories is also important, right? You have to have both ends of that,
right?
Because the numbers will only tell you so much, and then you have to put a face on it. You have to have someone to say, okay, these are the people, the actual real people that you're impacting when you know, you donate money to the Berkshire United Way.
We always tell people, you know, there's different people in this world, and they you know, things touch their heart in different ways. So some people really want that data, and they really want that logic, just clear cut, yes, no, things are increasing, decreasing. But then there are people out there where, you know, those numbers don't mean that much, and we really want to tug at the heartstrings, so to speak, and really share those stories of what those numbers really mean.
Yeah. I can see that. So there's something happening now that I haven't heard of before, so you'll have to explain that to me. It's something called United in Conversation. And so maybe Catherine, tell us how the concept for this arose and what it means to put it into motion.
Yes, we really wanted to take the opportunity to highlight vulnerable populations within Berkshire County, and to really provide a safe and what we're calling a brave space to have dialogue and lifting up voices that are living in vulnerable communities and to really listen to one another. I think, especially right now, I don't think folks listen enough to one another and to really have, you know, take a minute, take a pause and put ourselves in other people's shoes. So this is our first attempt at providing an opportunity for the community to come together and learn from each other. So we are hosting a series of what we're calling United in Conversation. It will be hosted at the Fantabulous Wander in downtown Pittsfield. It will be launching this coming Wednesday, which will be September 24th, and we'll be highlighting immigration. And so each session will be curated by a nonprofit partner who is an expert in the issue. And the session will be up to them on how, you know, providing some data, hopefully lifting up some lived folks with lived experience, and really providing what we hope will be a positive dialogue with the community. Mm-hmm. So our first session is immigration, and Berkshire Immigrant Center will be hosting that opportunity. The next will be held on October 8th. And domestic violence will be that topic. Elizabeth Freeman, who is another one of our fantabulous partners, will be curating that session. The next session will be on October 22nd, again from 4 to 6 at Wander. Second Street will be talking about folks that have been involved in the criminal justice system and sort of the impact of having that on your record. So we're excited to have them. The next will be November 5th, and we will be highlighting substance use disorder and the folks that are really working deeply in that space, providing some data, talking about what that issue means. The next will be November 19th, and we'll be highlighting the unhoused with Upside 413, Hearthway, and ServiceNet. And then the last session will be December 3rd, and we'll be highlighting the LGBTQ plus population. And the two curated partners are Seeing Rainbows and Berkshire Pride.
Okay, so I mean that's a lot.
First of all,
six pretty major sessions. Some very difficult topics in some ways, right? You're meeting them head on. These are conversations that are being facilitated by the groups that you just described, right? So lay it out for me. When people arrive and they go to Wander and they spend a couple hours, are they listening to a talk or are they expected to sort of have dialogue with the people that are facilitating or other people in the room? How do you imagine it going?
Yeah, great question. Well, we're going to kick it off with two of our board members, Rachel Mabee and Michael Obasahan, who will be taking about 10 minutes to set up the Brave and Safe Space. And then we'll be kicking it over to the funded partners. Most of the funded partners will be highlighting, at least initially, doing some landscape, sharing the data, you know, what is happening in Berkshire County, talking about the issue, and then opening it up for dialogue. There may or may not be folks with lived experience. It depends on each nonprofit partner, but we're hoping to really then have at least 30 minutes plus of just question and answer, and again, really providing that dialogue.
Yeah, and as soon as I started understanding what this was about, I said, well, okay, we're doing a lot of talking these days, but it's all on social media, right?
Right.
And the comments on various stories, and we've seen the stories in the paper, whether they're, you know, very difficult stories locally or whether they're have more of a national feel to them. Obviously everything comes home at some point, so we're all dealing with all of these issues here, but a lot of times we're only getting one side or the side that we agree with, right? We're not really having face-to-face conversations with people anymore. So is that really to sort of meet that need in a way to restart that process of people talking to each other?
Absolutely. It's a small first step. I mean, obviously, ultimately, we'd love to be able to say that this is a first step in improving empathy, you know, destigmatizing vulnerable populations. But we recognize that just one event is not going to do that. But at least it's a step in the right direction. Because I think, to your point, people are not listening to one another. They're just talking at each other.
Yeah, totally. I can understand that, and I wish the series well. So again, we'll just throw that reminder out there that it's next. What is it?
Next Wednesday it starts.
Next Wednesday,
and it'll be every other Wednesday through December 3rd. It's free from 4 to 6 at Wander.
And you recommend that people go on the website and register. You don't have to, but it's probably recommended.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes.
Just to get a clue of how many people you might have.
Exactly. Coming. So we'll have light refreshments available. Mm. And then obviously Wander has a fabulous food and beverage menu as well. So they'll be able to make cash purchases.
Great. All right. So that's United in Conversation starting next Wednesday, the 24th, 4 to 6 p.m. over at Wander Berkshire. It's going to be very interesting. I wish you well on the endeavor. And I hope it starts the community conversation. There's plenty of people with things to say.
Yes.
That we know for sure. But
yes.
I wonder if they will, when they come together, if they'll say those same things in person to people across the room. That's my question. Do you have that curiosity also?
Absolutely. And I hope people come with respect and that it can be a positive dialogue. And I think, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to take a few minutes out of the agenda, just set up that safe and brave space, both for the panelists and folks that are in the audience.
Yeah, no, that's important to feel like we have freedom of speech somehow, that we could actually discuss things that that are important to us without feeling threatened or feeling like we're going to be silenced.
Absolutely.
That's an important concept.
It is.
Let's keep reinforcing that.
I agree, Sean.
And here we are on Morning Drive doing just that this morning. We are on 89.7 WTBR-FM and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And we have Catherine Von Hafen, the interim president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way, and also Chloe Rychick, who is the data analytics and training manager over at the Berkshire United Way as well. Well, so the big thing obviously happening right now for all of you is the annual campaign kickoff. And I can imagine that is another really, really big thing that is happening, right? And that just kicked off, was it last week?
Gosh, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's been a blur, Sean.
You're in the middle of it right now.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me why it is important to have a focus on a kickoff like this. So obviously, I think a lot of people do understand what the United Way does, but it's always good to remind people, here we are on the air, to tell them why, the United Way exists to bring in funding for your member agencies, right? And two, why a kickoff for an annual campaign is important.
Yeah, I think our funding is the fuel to the work, mm-hmm. right? And I think traditionally folks know us as a funder. We are raising funds from our fellow neighbors, friends, on behalf of our nonprofit partners, because funding is hard to do, and it's getting increasingly difficult. And so the campaign kickoff gives us an opportunity to, first of all, thank the community for their continued donations, but also to re-engage folks, to remind them about why we're here, why the work is so important, and to highlight the great, great work that our nonprofit partners do. We have now 29 nonprofits that are a part of the United Way family. And they do amazing work every single day.
Yeah. Yep. And that's work that's very critical to the community in so many ways. We've had a pretty big community conversation about homelessness here in Pittsfield, for example, in the last year. And, everyone that comes to the microphone at city council is saying that we don't have enough services. And, this is an opportunity for people to put their money where their mouth is, right? If they're looking to, bolster this community to make sure that the services that we have are adequate, this is one of those ways. And let's talk about, too, the current environment that we're in, right? That this year seems a little different than other years in terms of how much you can give and whether it will make a difference based on the other sources that were previously available that are now sort of in flux or threatened. Talk about that environment a little bit, Kathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sean, this is what keeps me up at night, frankly. Mm-hmm. As I shared at our campaign kickoff, we are in a perfect storm, as I sadly refer to this moment in time, in that when we look at Berkshire County data, we are clearly seeing increased need, mm-hmm. particularly around financial instability for families. The most recent stat we have from BRPC, Berkshire Regional Planning Center, is about 53% of households in Berkshire County are financially unstable and struggling.
Let's go back to that for a second.
Yes.
53% of
yes.
Berkshire County families are basically on the edge, struggling.
Yes.
That's a lot. I mean, that seems like way more than if you were to compare that to other parts of the state.
Yes.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yes. No, I don't
have the data in front of me, but I'm just going to guess that is a more difficult standard than, let's say, some of the wealthier suburbs of Boston and mm-hmm. some of the other parts of the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really important to know is that most often these households are employed. It's that their cost of living is continuing to go up. So they're working one, two, sometimes three jobs mm-hmm. and still struggling to meet basic needs, whether that's the childcare cost, housing costs, food, mm-hmm. Our food insecurity numbers are continuing to rise as well. And so I think just reminding the broader community that there is continued need. We have a lot of wonderful assets in Berkshire County, but we need to kind of bring it all together mm-hmm. to what I call work on our resiliency muscle, because as the federal government works to restructure some of the safety net programs that many families here in Berkshire County rely on, we at Berkshire in Berkshire County need to figure out how we're going to weather this current storm.
Mm. Yeah, and anecdotally, I've heard that, requests to food banks across the country is going up. And it's going up in populations where previously they hadn't seen those people before, right? They're new entries to the food banks. Is that something that you see is happening here in Berkshire County as well?
Absolutely. Mm. And I think as or hopefully folks know, in a household that may be struggling financially, the food bill is something that they can flex. So mm-hmm. they know that they could then go to a food pantry. And it's oftentimes the initial indicator that income insecurity is occurring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think, across the county, we're seeing from our food banks and food pantries, the numbers continue to go up.
Mm. And that's a real need and something that that your dollars to the Berkshire United Way does help with, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We convene the central food pantries on a monthly basis. We bring in the Western Mass Food Bank, who oftentimes leads the sector, and really kind of coming together to share best practices, lift up barriers, mm-hmm. and advocate both at the state and federal level.
Yeah. And generally, you have for an annual campaign, which is just kicked off recently and will go for several months, a focus to the campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
sort of the headline when we talk about what it is we're focusing on. And this year's focus is what?
Yeah, great question. It's really around early childhood. We see early childhood development as a through line through our three strategic priorities, which are school and career readiness.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the youth programs, our early childhood programs, and any kind of youth development opportunity that really provides young people to think about what they want to do for the rest of their lives and career opportunities. The second is household stability. So those are all the programs and organizations that we work with that provide that, whether it's financial coaching or just, re-job training, an opportunity to move up in their career. And then the last is our new, which is mental health. Hmm. And, again, that's another huge need in Berkshire County.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that early childhood really touches all of those.
Hmm.
I think, and I know that early childhood also is a huge economic driver, both from the perspective of it's an employment opportunity, but if families and households can't find childcare, they're not able to go to work. And just reframing that conversation in our community, I think, is really important.
What is the state of early childhood education right now in the Berkshires? How are we doing? What's our report card look like?
Yeah, I would say that unfortunately, since the pandemic, we have our early childhood educators continue to see behavioral challenges and needs within the classroom.
Okay.
And these are things, you know, from biting, from throwing chairs, swearing. It's disruptive. And mm-hmm. I think what we find as a challenge is that we do not have the clinical population to help support the early educators. Mm-hmm. So we're really working collaboratively at the Berkshire County level to really message that mm-hmm. at the state level to see if we can get some more supports and to provide that necessary support for our early educators. I have to say that being an early educator is one of the most challenging jobs that I've mm-hmm. experienced in my 30, almost 40 year career. And so we really have a passion for helping them do their work. Because when we look at the research, we know that longitudinally, when an early educator does their job really well, they have longitudinally positive outcomes for not only the children in their classroom, but the families. That data is amazing. There's a huge return on investment mm-hmm. when you invest in high quality education that yields a rate of return anywhere from $3 back to community to all the way up to $10, $12
per dollar spent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that, Chloe, because, again, it's an investment, right? That's what we're talking about here,
right.
is getting that work in early so that later on, as kids progress through school, they're not held at a disadvantage, right? That they've
right.
got a chance to get some of that work in early. And also talk about, what you think about whether early educators are paid sufficiently, right? And if there are enough early educators available in this community. You're the data person. How are we doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think first I want to just reiterate what Catherine said, and which is that to be an early childhood educator is such an important job. And it is so difficult. And I think it was difficult before, and I think it's even more difficult now. You know, definitely coming out of the pandemic, we have, many populations, different age ranges that are, struggling with social and emotional regulation, even just interacting with other people. And we're seeing it throughout all the grades. And I think especially in early childhood where, you may have one teacher for three students because they're so young and they need that attention. And yet if one child really needs that extra attention, how can you balance that mm-hmm. when, you're trying to provide a quality education, but you're also trying to stop someone from throwing a chair across the room, And
that's why it's really important to think about teachers and the work that they do every day.
Oh,
and just imagine yourself in that position and say, could I do that, really?
And imagine that you're doing that every day and you're taking home $17 an hour.
Mm.
I think that to me is really what tugs at my heartstrings, because that is just such an imperative, important job.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need somebody in that position with compassion. And I think someone can have compassion, but at $17 an hour, they might lose that compassion at a certain point.
Yeah. And I think that applies to other areas such as social services.
Absolutely.
And mental health professionals, right? They're expected to have a very high level of skill and education and training, and the pay sometimes just doesn't come to meet that, which is probably why, in a lot of ways, we are short on a lot of those people.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, we have a lot of our childcare centers. In fact, I just met with a group yesterday, I think, mm-hmm. and there were two centers that have open positions and are really, really struggling to find mm-hmm. Qualified candidates.
Yeah.
It's
not, not a lack of trying. It's our funded partners.
Yeah.
They are very aware of this issue and they do everything that they can to improve upon it as
yeah.
well. But it's just a broken system at this yeah. point.
There's a concept that you introduced to me right before we went on the air today. It was something called the cliff population. We got a couple minutes before our break.
Great.
Catherine, maybe tell me what that means.
Yes. So this is another huge focus of Berkshire United Way. Again, when we look at the data, the cliff population, as it's oftentimes referred to, are those individuals and folks that are earning too much money to access federal safety net supports and state supports, frankly, whether it's a child care voucher or SNAP, which is our food security opportunity. And so if they're earning too much, they lose that that support, yet they're not earning enough to meet basic needs. Yeah. And when we look at that data, that population is growing. Mm-hmm. You know, according to BRPC, again, our income inequality is really taken an upswing since COVID mm-hmm. compared to other parts of the state.
Yeah, and I would think the pressures of housing and rent costs and
Absolutely.
Things like that are really putting the squeeze on people as well. It's just hard enough to sort of keep the basics going and then try and provide these other things that, you know, if you're right on the edge and that's going to make a difference one way or the other, that's something that you're hyper-focused on, which you shouldn't have to be, right? I mean,
right.
that's the point. You want to be able to, you know, do normal things and move along with your life and you know, provide the best for your family. And
right.
yet you're always focused on that one edge part.
Right. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is moving up in your career.
Yeah.
Yet. And in fact, we've heard from a number of our funded partners that staff, when offered the opportunity for a raise or a new job that moves them up the trajectory, they will not take it because they know that they will lose some of the benefits they need to make their basic needs.
Yeah. Is that something that can be solved at a state legislature level, or where is the actual solution to a problem like that?
Yeah, it's complicated, frankly.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And the solution is both at the state and the federal level. I think, you know, particularly in the early childhood space, we are lucky to have a governor and an administration that really does believe in the power of early childhood and as invested quite heavily compared to some other states in the early childhood system, but it's sadly not enough.
Yeah. Berkshire United Way is our topic here this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and we will be back with that conversation in just a moment. It's a top of the hour, so we're going to take our quick little break, and we'll return talking about a little bit more about the annual campaign and then going on and talking about some other great things. There's a great volunteer center at the United Way that we want to explore a little bit. So let's get into that in the second half, and we'll be right back after this. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.com. .edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Sondrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
My name is Courtney. I was born and raised here in the Berkshires. Substance use is in my family, in my friends' lives, and in my neighborhood. I have lost my marriage, my sister, and close friends. I am the voice of addiction. Addiction impacts all of us, not just those that are in active drug use. I carry Narcan because the person I save is someone's loved one. If I can save a life, I will. Recovery can start with a life saved.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hello, wonderful people. This is your host, Tariq Pinkston, for the show. 30 Minutes of Inspiration coming on every Friday, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. So that 12:30 slot is a time to help fill cups, fill your gas tank, and just give you a reboot for the day. 30 Minutes of Inspiration coming on every Friday at 12:30 p.m. You know, fill the gas tank, and I hope to see you there every Friday, 12:30 p.m. here on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on Friday the 19th of September, and it is 8:04 in the morning. It's about 61 degrees outside. It's a beautiful day out there. I see blue skies again and lots of sun. No fog from what I can see. And so if you're getting up, it's just going to be a nice day. No rain in the forecast from what I've seen either. We're going to hear that from the National Weather Service in a moment. And then we'll get back to our conversation with the folks from Berkshire United Way, Catherine Von Hafen and Chloe Reichick. So stick around and let's listen to the weather forecast and get right back to that. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Patchy fog this morning. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cooler with lows around 40. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Nice day. Enjoy it while you can. Middle of September, you know, in a couple of months, we're going to be talking about you-know-what coming out of the sky. So,
say it.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Hey, it's my favorite time of the year.
I was saying it too long over the winter. Yeah. Just, you know, every day it seemed like snow was in the forecast. Oh, I said it.
Yay! I want
what
snow.
Did I tell you?
Again, welcome to the program, Catherine and Chloe. Appreciate you being here this morning.
Thanks, Sean.
Before we move on from the annual campaign, which obviously we talked about was focused on early childhood education, along with all the other priorities that the Berkshire United Way supports, tell us about the BECC and what that collaborative is going to do to help the process.
Yes, the BECC, newly named. Mm. It is the Berkshire Early Childhood Collaborative, and along with our co-host, Brett Brandom, who is the executive director of Berkshire Head Start, we launched back in March a cross-sector collaboration focused on really one goal is sustainability issues for the early childhood system and reframing the early childhood conversation to be about economic development. Mm. And so this group includes some of our elected officials, local funders. It includes childcare providers, obviously, some of our school systems, and local businesses and local leaders coming together to really strategize about what Berkshire County can do collectively to support the early childhood system. So it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Great conversations. We worked really hard over the summer in a subgroup on a survey. So we will be launching the latter part of September what we're calling an employer-employee survey to really ascertain what are the childcare challenges from the perspective of an employer and an employee. Hmm. And we will keep that survey open for about a month. We had partners from Berkshire Community College helping us, as well as our good friend Allison LaRocca, who leads an evaluation program here in Berkshire County. Hmm. So we're really excited because I think the data that we'll have and collect from that will really inform the next work structure from that comes out of BEC. And what's additionally exciting is that we've gotten the interest from the folks in the eastern side of the state. So the Massachusetts Business Roundtable that supports early childhood and is led through the Eastern Bank Foundation is very interested in learning what kind of data we're going to get. Also, EEC has really staffed up and now has one staff person that is overseeing business and childcare partnerships across the state. And the Massachusetts legislature has put significant funds to that project. So we're really hoping kind of it all can come together To really support the early childhood system, but also our local businesses mm-hmm. who oftentimes do struggle with having their staff find appropriate childcare.
Yeah. Do you think that employers are aware that that is a major issue for their business, that that they need to somehow think about childcare in terms of the whole mix of their business? They think of all the suppliers and the products and the, you know, everything else that they have to think about to run their business. And at the same time, it's like, oh, but I have a workforce and they have needs. And the needs are, if I don't take care of those needs, I'm not going to have the employees dedicated to doing what they need to do.
Absolutely. And that's why it's been really important to bring in the local business community to the conversation so that we can hear from them, learn from them, and better understand what their workforce challenges are. I think, you know, the business model of early childhood is so fragile. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity across the nation, frankly, of different states working on business and childcare partnerships. Mm. And that is something that EEC out of Boston is also looking at. So we're really kind of bringing all of this together, the partners, the early childhood, the businesses, the funders, support from our legislature, and really hoping that we in the Berkshires can come up with some innovative solutions yeah. that might be a test case for the rest of the state.
Hmm. Have you heard whether there's been a movement toward mandatory pre-K to be able to be provided in the public schools? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be in the mix in the next few years? And then will that contribute to maybe some of what we need to provide for families?
I think it's not going to be mandatory, but but Berkshire United
or available,
right? Available, so, yeah. Right? So we are part of a leadership group in partnership with a Pittsfield Public School and five nonprofit childcare centers in Berkshire County. We receive funding that's called CPPI.
Okay.
And it is a state opportunity to really bring together communities to support providing improved access for preschool. And so we were funded by the state, and we are going to be launching a really neat project in collaboration with Pittsfield Public School, Berkshire United Way, and five nonprofit partners. So we are, frankly, right now hiring two part-time educators. One is going to be a coach, and one will be the project coordinator for the CPPI project. They'll be housed at Berkshire United Way, but of course we'll be working with the five partners and with Pittsfield Public School.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah,
to hear,
it is.
Right? And what do you hope to gain some knowledge when that program moves forward? What do you think can be improved with that?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is I often say that coaching in early childhood is the secret sauce to success because oftentimes, you know, educators go to these amazing trainings. You know, they spend a day learning with other professionals, getting great ideas, and then Monday morning they're back in the classroom with crazy two-year-olds running around, and it's really hard to implement. And that's where a well-skilled coach can really translate the learnings from a training into the actual classroom operations. Mm-hmm. So we really hope that number one, it can be a support to the early childhood educators, but also increase access and provide more of a collaborative approach so that families don't have to struggle on where to find childcare and who to go to, and it can be more of a coordinated system.
Yeah. And so before we wrap up the annual campaign, what do you want to put into people's minds when they're considering making an employer donation or something like that during this time period, when they're approached and they say, would you like to give to the United Way? What kind of ideas do you want to put in people's minds at that moment?
Thanks, Sean. I think the thing that I continually live with and worry about is that the increased need of our friends and neighbors in Berkshire County. And sometimes it's really hard when you hear all the difficult stories on to learn what to do. And I think Berkshire United Way is an opportunity for neighbors to give their hard-earned dollars. We will then put it together and provide not only funding, but the value add, which is being right there at the table with our partners and beyond, and really working on a resiliency muscle, as I say, you know, these are challenging times, and we really need as a community to come together and to really collectively work on solutions. And that's what Berkshire United Way is all about.
Yeah, this is the time and this is the year where the uncertainty is present, right? And
Absolutely. That's
where the individual donations will be all that much more important.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about some other amazing things going on with the Berkshire United Way. And you have something, Chloe, that is kind of the pride of the organization, right, which is the Volunteer Center. This is where you can really bring the interests and the strength of more and more people in to help organizations. Tell us about what the Volunteer Center does.
Absolutely, Sean. I think it is one of our many pride points at Berkshire United Way. But our Volunteer Center is a free resource for anybody in the community to use, and it's kind of twofold. You can go in as an individual and look up all the volunteer opportunities that we have posted and do what you want to do.
So these are opportunities that the organizations have put forward to you, right? They've said, we have a need at our organization for a volunteer to do X, Y, and Z. And they've given that to you, and you're able to find people to fill those roles.
Exactly. And I should have started it the other way, because the other side is that our agencies can go in there and they can post any volunteer needs that they need. And we've had interest from individuals in the community as well as workplaces in the community that are really just looking to give back in some way. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great resource. You can check it out. It's linked on our website, berkshireunitedway.org. You can get to the Volunteer Center from there. And I think
so it's kind of like a matchmaking service in a way, right? People that want to volunteer, they have time on their hands, they have some skills, they know what they'd like to be able to do to help out organizations. There are organizations that need volunteers. I know I run one that needs volunteers all the time. We don't do what we do without them. And to sort of match those up and to say, hey, we can find a great place for you to spend that energy.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as we were saying before, we have so many nonprofits in the area. And I think that just speaks to the need, but also the passion and compassion of our community. And it's definitely a place where you can stretch that muscle and help out wherever you can. Yeah.
You do run some volunteer fairs occasionally also. I didn't see anything on the website coming up immediately, but what goes on at those and when do you expect the next one might?
I'm not sure when the next one will be.
Well, we're in conversation with our good friends Liana from Nonprofit Center. So we are looking potentially the latter part of the fall. We usually co-host it together, the volunteer fairs. And so, again, that's another opportunity to really highlight what are volunteer opportunities in the community and to do a matchmaking for folks that come to the fair. They can look at all the in-person, look at all the opportunities and sign right up.
That's kind of like our theme this morning, in-person, actually face-to-face, talk to people.
What a concept.
Right? Does make a difference.
Yes.
You know, it's very, and hey, we all went through COVID, right? We understand what that was like, and we had to be, you know, isolated from everybody, and we learned how to use Zoom and all those things, and those are good skills to have. But at the same time, I think that made us think about the value of being around people, because that's what we desired to do after that was sort of lifting, right? We all wanted to say, oh, it felt so good. Remember that feeling? It felt so good to be out again.
Yes.
It felt so good to be with people. Yes. And it makes a big difference, especially when it comes to volunteering.
Definitely.
There's something also called Get On Board. Maybe talk about that.
Yeah, Get On Board is in partnership with also the Nonprofit Center, and that's also a matchmaking service. So we partner with local nonprofits as well. And those that are looking for board members, people with lived and living experience, we connect them through fairs, through our volunteer center, through the Nonprofit Center, and just get people connected to nonprofits in that way so that they can, you know, have maybe more of a say and give their opinions.
Every nonprofit organization needs a strong board of directors.
Yes.
And you need people from diverse backgrounds. You need people with different experiences, lived experiences, as you said. And sometimes it's really those people do, a lot of work in the background that you don't see every day. And yet it's very, very important work. And it's a lot of time. It can be time and effort put into to make an organization successful, right?
Right, right. You know, being on a board is more than just saying that you're on the board. It's volunteering your time, and it's giving your time and effort to that agency. Yep.
And finding the right fit, I would think, is important too, right? Because not everybody is going to be either interested or the right need for that particular organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're just joining us here, we have folks from the Berkshire United Way on Morning Drive this morning. It's Catherine Von Hafen. She's the interim president and CEO of the Berkshire United Way. Chloe Reichick, who is the data analytics and training manager. And we have them both here in our studio this morning. Do we want to talk about convenings? I want to know more about how that brings people. See, that's the theme today, bringing people together.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell
us about that and why that's important.
Yeah, our convenings are really lovely. And I think, you know, collaboration has always, we always know that is a great way to move forward. But I think also after the pandemic, there was such a need to get people together. I mean, people were meeting online, but to actually have that in-person communication, you know, there's just so much more value to that. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of convenings that we focus on. My pride and joy is our program staff convening. So those are our funded partners and those that work in the funded, with the funded partners, excuse me.
These are the folks that are in the trenches, right? These
exactly.
are the folks doing the work all the time. And so you're bringing them together to be able to share some experiences across the board.
Yeah. You know, we recently had one this week where we really focused on self-care in terms of staying organized and being efficient and being able to delegate tasks because, you know, we all know these people in nonprofits, we're caring individuals and they'll take on more than they need to. And we're really
trying. You don't say.
Yeah, right.
Kettle.
But, you know, that's really my goal. I think we talk about, you know, these social support systems and our wonderful nonprofits and these wonderful systems that we have set up to support the community, but at the end of the day, it's people that are implementing these. It is the interactions, it is the relationships. Mm-hmm. And so my goal with our program staff convenings and where my passion lies is to ensure that those staff members have the ability to continue to show up every day, even as things get more and more difficult.
What kinds of challenges do you hear when you bring these people together? Do you hear the burnout? Do you hear the uncertainty, the things that we've talked about today? What are the big challenges that you're hearing from these folks?
Oh, I mean, exactly that. Burnout, the uncertainty of what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, trying to balance, as Catherine's been saying, the increased needs. And I think one thing that we've noticed is there's this need for a holistic support. You know, if somebody needs housing, well, it might not be just housing that they need. They might need a job. They might need a car or transportation. You know, these things, they're compounded. And so I think that just kind of aids in the burnout and why we all need to be careful and to take care of ourselves so that, you know, again, we can keep showing up.
Well, I would think people in these careers, in these roles, get into them because they have a passion and they're caring people and they want to make a difference, right? I mean, that's, I think, pretty, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but I'm guessing I'm not too far off the mark. And yet, when that's all you're doing and you're taking care of people and there are so many problems that people are coming in with and you're dealing with that, that must wear on you after a while. And so bringing these people together to talk that over and to share those experiences, right?
Yeah, and to even go further than the commiserate. You know, obviously there's a time and place, and sometimes you just need to commiserate with people. But then to give the tools and resources to move forward and to look at, you know, instead of focusing on what we're lacking, what can we do to gain momentum?
Yeah. And let's talk about advocacy for a moment, because that's another big area, right? We don't exist in a bubble or a vacuum. We need support from our federal and our state delegations in a lot of ways, right? How important is it to keep that pipeline open, Catherine, to make sure that they know that there are needs here and that you need to press them on that, right?
Absolutely. And I say that advocacy is oftentimes a value add for the nonprofit sector, in that Berkshire United Way can do that on behalf of or with nonprofits. Our nonprofits, frankly, are busy providing the services and working with our friends and neighbors every single day and don't have the bandwidth to focus on advocacy. And so that's where we can provide that support. So, you know, I think, and that's one of the advantages of the convenings, frankly, Sean, is that, you know, when we regularly bring professionals together, we're unearthing the barriers and the challenges that then we can take and talk to our elected officials or our delegation and really, you know, in partnership with our elected officials, work on strategies to solve some of these problems. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as I share with a lot of folks, advocacy can be scary for folks, you know, going up to the Capitol, testifying on a bill.
It's a different world.
It is a different world. And so, but you could, with a stroke of a pen, really provide positive change for a whole population of people in Berkshire County.
Yeah.
So while it can be scary and challenging, it could also be a super efficient way to create positive change and systemic change through Berkshire County. So we're really proud of our elected delegation and really look forward to continuing to work with them and providing opportunity to bring them into conversations with our funded partners.
When you talk with the elected officials, what is the most effective sort of thing that you can bring to the table? And we talked about data before, right? Mm-hmm. The raw numbers and being able to show that there is a problem. If you can't count it, you can't fix it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the old standard saw there. But also, again, we talked about putting a human face on it and specific stories of people and how they're in need and how they're helped. Which one of those two, or is it really a balance of the two that the elected officials need to take with them when they're making those moves on the state house or wherever?
Yeah, it's both, frankly. Although I would say most recently, I've heard more of a request for the stories to put the faces and make the data come alive, frankly. And that, as Chloe so eloquently said earlier, these are human beings at the end of the day, and they're our friends and neighbors. And so the more we can provide sort of the story around the impact data, I think it becomes a more powerful vehicle for elected officials to take that up to Boston.
Yeah.
And I think, when speaking with our elected officials, we did have one of our convenings where Tricia Farley Bouvier, Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, came in and did speak about advocacy. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from that was, yes, we need the data and the stories, but she said, please come to me with solutions. Don't come to me with complaints. Because I think they're very aware, you know, they need to be aware of the issues, and that's definitely important. But to move things forward, we need ideas and brainstorming.
Well, I think that's a really good approach, actually, because, like you said, there's plenty of problems. We can all find those. We're all looking for solutions, and they aren't always very obvious,
right?
Are they?
Yeah. Right, right.
Folks from Berkshire United Way here this morning on Morning Drive, Catherine Von Hafen, the interim president and CEO, and Chloe Rychik, data analytics and training manager, and so happy to have them. Only a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about sort of the current environment that we're in and where the most vulnerabilities might lie going forward. And again, we're asking for crystal ball type stuff here, right? We don't know what's coming down the pipe, but we kind of know, you know, what is the most vulnerable. When you think about funding that could be pulled away from our population, where is that going to be felt the most here in Berkshire County?
I don't have a crystal ball, Sean.
Yeah.
I honestly feel as though, you know, the conversations that are happening primarily in D.C., I think a lot more of our friends and neighbors are going to be impacted than what we may think and imagine. And I think that's why it's so important for us as a community to come together cross-sector to figure out, how are we going to weather this storm? How are we going to build a Berkshire County resiliency muscle? Because the reality is, unlike COVID, where there was huge swaths of funding coming down through ARPA and PP loans and everything, that is not the case. And, you know, while the state does have significant funding, what I've been told is from the leadership at our state legislature is that a lot of that funding has to be what do they call it? Keep the powder dry, quote unquote, because when we lose SNAP, when we lose Medicaid, the state's going to be on the hook for that. And so what can we do, both from our local funding community, our nonprofits, our business leaders? We need to come together to really figure out, because the state's not going to be able to save us, and certainly not the federal government in this current crisis.
Right. Well, again, to be continued, I guess, on that front. And we know that it's something that's developing pretty much every day, sometimes every hour. We never know what's coming next. But the resiliency and the depending on our local folks, which makes the annual campaign for the Berkshire United Way even more important this year. So if you get that request at work, really consider that strongly. They do great work here in the community, and that's what the United Way has always done here. Think about United in Conversation, which we talked about at the top of the show. That's coming up next Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. at Wander Berkshires, right?
That's correct.
All right. Catherine, Chloe, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, you, Sean.
Great to have you, and good luck with everything going on, and we'll bring you back and see how we're all doing.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Take care. Have a great weekend, and enjoy the weather out there, and we will see you again next week here on Morning Drive. Take care.